pleases me.
Does your research give you a sense of all that you found out about your family line? Does it give you a sense of location?
Yeah, well, it would do. Like the fact that I want to come back and live here. And that's not imaginary. Yeah, it's weird. I think there is a genetic, but I was trying to discuss, well, I was discussing this with somebody the other night. I said, do you think there is a genetic impulse? Like my family only came to Cork really in about 1690, which isn't a long way away in history. And then my great grandmother left in 1880. So they hadn't been in Cork like for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, a couple of hundred years, but there'd be a pull. Yeah, absolutely. I feel very much at home here. And I'm sure I'll fall out of love with the place at some time, but it hasn't happened yet. And I think there's no doubt, a friend of mine, an artist, said, if you want to know Ireland, get out of Dublin. And I never really understood that. But the longer I've spent in Dublin, the more I realise it's true. Ireland is outside Dublin. That's where you meet the real Ireland in all its glory. And so, stonemasonry, absolutely thrilled. Do I have a need to want to go and do any of it? Not really, no. I do. I'm a creative person. I do my own work. I don't think I'd be up to it. That generation were tough. They were really tough. You look at the photographs of the masons of those days. You didn't see any obesity then. These guys were really wiry. They were tough-looking men, and they worked hard. Disappointed being a Republican myself when I found out that my family were employed by the Board of Ordnance to go around and fortify Spike Island. And they were employed by the British Crown. I wasn't happy about this at all, because the other side of my family were all members of the IRB. And I thought, this is terrible. But then I thought, look, if you've got 21 kids and you get offered a secure job with a pension and a roof over your head, it's understandable.
Is that the connection with Spike Island you touched on earlier?
Yeah, Spike Island was mentioned, and we never knew where Spike Island was. It just had this kind of fancy name. It sounded quite exotic. And then we realised when we came here that it was in the harbour there in Cove, and that it was a prison. And then we did research, and I was in London. We went to the National Archives, and when the British left in 1922, they took everything with them. And we found the ledgers from the Board of Ordnance, who looked after all the fortifications. And they had literally ripped the pages out of the ledgers before they left. They didn't leave anything here for the Free State. And I combed through the pages, and I found my great-great-great-grandfather living on Spike Island with two young children. So he was actually living there. And this was at the time when the fortifications were being increased. So he was there with a few other masons. They were obviously, you know, they were the on-site masons. And he had two children who'd been born on the island. I think they were baptised in Cove or Carrigtuil. And so we found him there. And we found on Father Edmund's parchment with all these, the family tree and all these weird notes, he put down Jeremiah Hogan, and he said he had 21 brothers and sisters, but few lived to beyond the age of 15. One went into the water and brought out a disease that killed five of them in 1 week. So that could be cholera, could be anything. But like five of them wiped out. So you understand now why you look at the family trees and you see, you know, your great-great-granny was pregnant from 18 to 48 almost. It was like 20. They had to, because they lost so many. It was like natural wastage. And you find, when I started filling in the family trees, you would see a lot of them would be dead at four and five. And they may have had 21 children. You might end up with five. One would become a nun. One would go to America. You know, my story of my family is very similar to everybody else's.